Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Tom Scarf. And Tom has taken on the responsibility of being the campaign manager to Mayor Sean Morse in Cohoes. So Tom, first of all, how are you doing? How's your health?
It's so-so. It's not horrible. Almost everything that's wrong with me is the result of my own doing.
Well, isn't that the truth of many people?
It absolutely is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had a couple of heart attacks, but I don't think those were my doing. But the diabetes and everything else, you know.
So you've taken on being a campaign manager for the mayor in Cohoes. How's that going?
Well, I think right now we're wrapping up the petitioning process. We've had a good response from the people in Cohoes as far as signing. We certainly have more than enough to get on the ballot. You know, we expect to be challenged, but we're not going to challenge anybody on petitioning. But we expect to be challenged. You know, one thing we didn't pay anybody to go out and collect signatures. I think one or two of our other opponents may have done that. We didn't. We have to save every penny we have. You know, for the real guts of the campaign, which will start after the petitions are in on the 4th.
So. How'd you do? What's the required numbers of signatures for mayor in Cohoes?
You know, it's 5% of the people that voted in the last gubernatorial election. I think it's around 400. You know, so it's not many.
Okay.
And they downsized it this year.
Right. It's been a shock to people because they usually used to go out in June, and now you're going out towards the tail end of winter, and it's hard going door to door when it's cold out and you're not used to it. It's quite a change. So what made you decide to become Sean's campaign manager?
Well, Sean asked me if I would help him, and I didn't hesitate, Cynthia, because to be quite honest with you, Sean's been a friend of mine for people in public service. But I also, as a friend, we spoke often about some of the struggles that his family was going through and that he was going through as a result of addiction in the family. And knowing what the story was and understanding, you know, pretty well what the disease of addiction does to a family, I believed his story. As far as the abuse allegations that came up against him, and I was very shocked when the governor came out and called for his resignation, and then a number of public officials in the Democratic Party in Albany County kind of jumped on the bandwagon and did the same. And I was surprised because there is a presumption of innocence in this country, and that's number one. And number two, I knew that the allegations were not founded and were false. And, you know, for the governor to say, I'm going to tell my state police to reopen the investigation after they closed the investigation and said they found no substance to the allegations. After CPS, after Child Protective Services did an extensive investigation, and then after he was awarded full custody of his daughter by Albany County Family Court, you know, it was surprising, at least, to call for him to resign.
What made you think motivated Governor Cuomo to do that?
He did that just before the election, if you remember. And, you know, I think maybe the motivation was political points. You know, I mean, it was The Me Too movement is big, and I think it was political points. I think he just assumed what no American should assume, and that somebody is guilty until proven innocent.
Okay. Now, there were a number of elected officials in Albany County who followed the direction of the governor and called for Jones, stepping down. And one of them, I believe, is your friend Dan McCoy. Are you at odds with Dan about the Sean Morris situation?
No. What Dan said, if you read his statement, Dan said that if these allegations prove true, that he should resign. And if the allegations were true, I would say he should resign too. The others all jumped on the governor's bandwagon in that he should immediately resign his office. But Dan said if they're true, then he should resign. I don't believe we're at odds. He has his own campaign this year. Although as of right now, we don't think that there is an opponent for either he or Sheriff Apple. But I think politics is funny, Cynthia. You understand it as well as anybody, that you should never let politics become more important than friendship. And I know that Sean has a great respect for Dan, and I believe that Dan has a respect for Sean. I think that I think that Dan is going to stay out of the race. That's my own opinion. I haven't spoken to him about it, but I think I think he will probably stay out of the race and concentrate on his own race this year and on the county legislature. Mm-hmm.
I remember one time I was listening to Paul Vandenberg, and Paul Vandenberg asked Mike Connors why Cuomo made that statement, and Mike Connors said that it was fear of Cuomo that made people jump on Cuomo feared Gillibrand, and that's why I'm losing my train of thought. I'm sorry.
And that's why Cuomo made that statement?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. I disagree with Mike. I don't think the governor's afraid of anybody, to be quite honest with you. And I just think that he made that statement, released it as a result of him constantly looking to score political points. And I think he just thought that, this is going to be true. That the allegations must be true. And that's not I support the Me Too movement 1,000%. But I also think that people need to know that there are women who make allegations that are wrong too. Not 100% of the allegations that are made by women about men and abuse are true. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's the result. You know, a person who's addicted to opioids or to anything, as Sean's wife is or was, I think is, are not necessarily, they're not bad people that need to get good. They're sick people that need to get well, you know. And,
right.
And it's a horrible, horrible family disease that affects every single member of the family, whether they know it or not. And in this case, it almost destroyed a family. Sean's been working very hard to keep the family intact.
But there's also campaign finance problems also.
And again, again, those are charges. They were allegations. They become charges. I can't speak to that because it's an ongoing thing going on with the FBI and federal court.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, Sean maintains his innocence. I believe it'll go to trial.
Okay. And if Sean is reelected and it does go to trial, then for that particular time period, will there be an interim mayor?
That's a decision that he and his attorney will make. I mean, if it goes to trial, it doesn't have to be an interim mayor. You know, he can work just as many of the other elected officials who have gone to trial while they were working as elected officials. They continued to work, and I don't think so. I don't think there will be. I don't know how long a trial would be, to be quite honest with you.
Okay. Now, there's four people in the race for mayor.
Yes. Right.
And you think a majority of the issues will be Sean's personal problems, or do you think that the other candidates will be focusing on the issues?
I think the other candidates are candidates because they smelled blood in the water, and you know they again made the assumption that don't forget they all got into the race when the only charge was the abuse charge, and I think that all the other candidates smelled blood in the water and decided that they would try to become mayor of the city. I think that they're going to try to eliminate the positive and accentuate the negative, and try to make personal problems that Sean has been fighting, the basis of their campaigns, because I don't see how they can do anything other than that, Cynthia. Sean has done a phenomenal job in 4 years in the city of Cohoes. You know, all one has to do is go up Cohoes Boulevard and see the construction that started yesterday and understand that that this is a city that is on the move for the first time in many, many years. And I could go on ad infinitum about the development that he's brought into the city. And it's just amazing what he's done it's the work of a man who obviously loves his city and spent over 25 years saving people's lives as a fireman, and then also as a member of the legislature, and then also as a chairman of the legislature, and now as mayor of the city he loves. So I don't see how they can make it anything other than his personal problems.
What do you think that the overriding issues in the city of Cohoes are?
I think it's just the biggest issue is to continue the work that's been done. I mean, no tax increase since he's become mayor. A tremendous amount of economic development going on in the city, mostly from private industry, and that's one of the criticisms that I'm hearing of Sean. Is if he gets elected, he's not going to get any money from the state because the governor doesn't like him. Well, you know what? If the governor holds back money for the good people of Cohoes because he has a personality problem with Sean Morris, shame on him. You know, that's number one. Number two, we have two elected officials that sit in the Capitol, John McDonald and Neil Breslin. And there are lobbyists who are there to bring the economic development dollars to each and every individual city, town, and village that they represent. And if they don't do it because they have a problem with Sean, shame on them too. And they should be called to task about that in next year when they run. So I just see the main issue as being continue the work that we've started and go forward, you know, and make Cohoes once again an all-American city.
Okay, when you say continue the work that was started, since Sean has become mayor, what appreciable difference can people notice in Cohoes? How has he made it better?
One is a reduction in the crime rate in the city. The city has it's a much safer city today. Don't forget he put almost, it's like community policing, but with patrol cars in different communities. If you go down Cohoes Avenue, everybody, he increased the patrolling of Cohoes Boulevard, where a young girl was killed shortly after he became mayor. And he increased the patrols there so that people are now actually going the speed limit on that boulevard. The state has imposed a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit on that stretch of 787. People are going that 30 miles an hour. And it's amazing. So crime is number one. Number two, holding the tax levy at 0%, and keeping the property, keeping the taxes down. Number three would be economic development, of course, bringing in new businesses. If you go down Remsen Street, you're going to see construction on a number of formerly vacant buildings. You're going to see new restaurants. It was amazing what happened after the fire, when half the city, it seems, half that district was decimated, and things were brought back, businesses were brought back. There's a new vitality down there. Excuse me for a second. Had to sneeze. I'm sorry. The Cohoes Music Hall, one of the gems and the jewels of downtown Cohoes, was brought back, you know, and is seeing tremendous amount of people coming down there. Music in the Park is another one, you know, in the summertime. It'll be starting in a few weeks, something that hadn't happened in Cohoes. It's just a lot of things that are going on, a lot of positives that we see in that city today that we didn't see before.
So as this campaign unfolds, the petitions have to be submitted, I guess, by this weekend. So as the campaign unfolds...
Next Monday, the first to the fourth.
Okay.
So.
I had asked Sean to come on, and he said okay, and then at the last minute, you know, he said he couldn't do it.
That was the day after the indictment, and he had a few appointments that he had to go to.
Okay, so I don't know if he was, you know, his lawyers told him, you know, don't talk, you know, for a while or whatever. But I
his
think
lawyers,
this is a very. Go
they
ahead.
Just don't want him
I'm
to
sorry.
Talk about the trial. They don't want him to talk about the current investigation.
Right.
But anything,
okay.
If you want to talk to him about the city, he'd be more than happy to talk. If you want to talk to him about opioid addiction, he'd be more than happy to talk.
How bad is opioid addiction in Cohoes?
Well, I think it's the same as it is in most other cities. It's an epidemic. You know, it's a horrible, horrible disease. It's insidious, and it's incurable. You can arrest it, but you can't cure it. And there is a genetic predisposition to it, but there's also economics and social issues that come into play with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the worst part of it is the genetic predisposition, just like there is to any addiction, you know, whether it's compulsive gambling, of which I'm a victim, or alcoholism, compulsive eating, or drug addiction. You know, it and that's how we know it's a disease, Cynthia, because it runs in the family. You know, and just like a lot of different things. If your parents have had cancer, your chances of having cancer are increased. If your parents have been drug addicts, your chances are increased to become a drug addict. The difference is that you can do something if you know that you have a better than average chance of having an addiction. You can do something about it, and that's by being constantly vigilant about it.
Now, out of all of the races that are going to happen in Albany County over the next few months, next several months until November, actually, do you think that the mayor's race in Cohoes will, you know, be an overriding campaign that people will look at? Do you think it'll overshadow the other races for county legs?
Yeah, I think this is a hot campaign in the county this year. The top two on the Democratic primary ticket are running unopposed. So, you know, that's that kind of takes the interest, excitement. I shouldn't say interest, but the excitement in those races away. But there is there's a lot of talk about Cohoes. Thanks to our friends at the Albany Times Union and the governor.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about this race in the city of Cohoes. You know, and the fact that there's four candidates, and
right.
I expect there will be four candidates. I think every one of us are going to be on the ballot, to be quite honest with you. But we're planning on debating. We called for three debates. Two of our opponents said yes. We have not heard from Stephen yet, but I anticipate that he will say yes too. But two of the candidates have said yes and have been in touch with us about negotiating the ins and outs of what the campaign or what the debates will look like.
So this is going to be an interesting couple of months with all four candidates vying for mayor in the city of Cohoes. And I want to extend an invitation to come on, you know, when you feel that there's something that should be addressed and you need a soapbox. I think it's important to cover Cohoes because people deserve the best government that they can get. So, Tom, will you and possibly Sean come on to talk about specific issues over the coming months?
We'd be more than happy to, Cynthia. You know,
okay.
I've been listening to you for a long, long time, both on, on air, both on air and through your car window sometimes. and I've enjoyed our conversations. You know, we've both been around for a long time. I started in this as a Republican, as executive director of the Albany County Republican Committee when Joe Frangiello was the chairman. And then my father was a North Albany Republican. When he passed away and I was still working for Joe, I said to my mom one day, she was in the office helping with some cards, and she was a Republican. And I said to her, you know, Mom, I got to go down and I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to change enrollments. I was born a Republican, but I'm not really a Republican. And she started crying and she said, thank God, I'm going with you. She said, I'm going with you. And we both became Democrats. We were very loyal to my dad. And he was a pretty staunch Republican. So
now,
I became a Democrat.
You live outside the city, right? You live outside the city of Albany and Cohoes?
I live in Green Island.
Okay, that's basically a Democratic town also.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Democrat. I mean, I became a Democrat after my father died in 1971. I became a Democrat. But I was born in North Albany, which is a very, very staunch Democratic area. And my dad was a Republican in North Albany, surprisingly enough.
How many was it? There were like two or three?
How many what?
There were like two or three Republicans in that area?
Yeah, if that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he actually ran for alderman as a Republican. Imagine that.
Wow. So I look forward to talking with you and with Sean and, you know, about the campaign and how it's evolving. So final words?
Well, my final words are that, you know, I hope that the people of Cohoes, and let's extend that to the people of the Capital District who have, you know, possibly listened to a lot of the talk, personal talk about Mayor Morris, and let them take a real hard look at his accomplishments in the city of Cohoes, number one. And number two, we hope that they can really investigate what the disease of addiction does to a family, and then realize that people who are addicted are not bad people trying to get good. They're sick people trying to get well. And that's what happened in Sean's family.
Okay, so Tom, we shall talk again. Thank you for being on Focus on Albany. Thank you, everybody, for listening. So if you like the show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Thanks, Tom. Have a great day, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Cynthia, it was my pleasure. Hi, Cynthia.